Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Hello, Devin. Hello, Dustin.
All right, what do you got for us tonight?
Breaking up is like knocking over a Coke machine. You can't just do it in one push. You got to rock it back and forth a few times, and then it goes over.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Oh, man. I was trying to find a quote, and we were quoting Seinfeld before, so let's just stick with that.
Yeah, right.
That is a great Seinfeld one.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's beautiful. It was like a moment of clarity. Right. And like, oh. So they said, oh, that's beautiful.
You're going to get back together, Elaine. Do you think that... friendships are kind of like that, or maybe
I think friendships are probably more like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a dramatic end. You know, it's like, or it's like
maybe it's more of a fading. It's like,
yeah, it's not even like it's pushing it over. It's just like you know, the snacks and the soda, the machine just go out of style. Mm-hmm. Slowly. And then it's like, you know, the glass gets tinted and then the buttons are like brownish.
And, yeah, and you're like, I don't know if I want those snacks anymore.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm all right. And then occasionally, you know, occasionally a snack pops up. Hey, look at that. There's that snack that I liked back in the day. Hey, snack.
Hey, candy cakes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. I was at the grocery store recently. I saw like the box, all the Little Debbies, and it was like this tiny section. And it had the nutty bars or whatever. And I still haven't seen in a while the peanut butter bars, I guess they are. Those are pretty good.
The round ones, like, with that, the round tops?
Yeah, with the round tops. Yeah, with the peanut butter on the inside. I know. I haven't seen them. I don't know. They don't do them anymore.
Oh, they exist.
See, there it is.
I bought some like 4 months ago.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, look, because that's like, you know, if I occasionally, so Nicole jokes that when I go to the grocery store, I'll buy stuff, you know, and if she's there with me, yeah, she's like my verbal conscience. Mm-hmm. She's like, no. I'm like, come on. It's buy one, get one free.
It's a 20 pack of honey buns. Like, why you need that? I don't know.
Because they taste delicious.
Look good.
But yeah, so I was recently at the grocery store looking at them, like this little section. I saw nutty bars, you know, which... it was a nutty bar. Yeah, nutty bars, which are good. Yeah, the wafers and the peanut butter and the chocolate on the outside. Those are good. But nothing like a good peanut butter bar, man. Those are classic. I haven't had them in years. Woo!
That was a mom special.
Oh, yeah.
She always had those, remember? That's where I remember having them most,
maybe.
Is those being around.
I feel like I remember them being Derek's favorite. He was like peanut butter bars.
Maybe she bought them for him. She probably bought them for us, you know, and they just always had them around.
Yeah, she was a sweet tooth, though. My mom liked her sweet tooth. Her sweets.
Her sweets. It's like dad and me.
Yeah, yeah.
love a sweet.
Love a good sweet.
Wait. Okay. Real quick. On the topic of intense relationships and
all right,
moving them back and forth, what do you think about a social media... maker community relationship is an interesting thing. It's this kind of intense like love affair thing, and that it's, but how much depth does it have? Because there's a lot of people I've seen, people you work with, and then but sometimes you don't feel like you have the same relationship as someone, you know, anybody we have on the podcast, anyone we've met a few times at Maker Camp, stuff like that. You feel like you have a bigger relationship with them, you know, like a more intense maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe it's just because you don't, you know, it's like the thing, like, there's intensity to it. And you feel like you know them more because you watch them, you watch their work, and you have this mutual appreciation. It's like the relationship builds on either side separately, right? Like, your relationship with someone is a lot of times through their work.
Right.
And then so that grows, and then when you meet the person, you maybe like build on that.
Right. And I think you can, you know, you start off by appreciating what they can do, right? You appreciate, or you're like impressed by their skill a lot of times in the maker community, right? Because you're watching people make other stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's cool. You know, like, and you're seeing these, like, you're seeing them as an, like, a potential equal in like doing this thing that you love to do, right? And like, oh, I want to see you do this thing, right? So like, you're already like putting them up in a level that is like a skill related level. Like, you can do this thing, and us as makers, we're very much about doing things. But yeah, then like, you know, especially when we have these like weekend events or a couple day events, or you go to a hammer in, or you go like to visit somebody, they have a whatever thing at their whatever place. You know, you get these like really quick bursts, like you said, these intense bursts of community where everything has to happen in a short amount of time. So everything's jammed in. Like, let's do this. Now there's this. Now there's this. Now there's this. Go. And it's like an explosion. And then you go back to like your normal life where you're around the people, like you said, the people you work with every day, and the slow, and you're watching them like do their same thing every day, and they're like kind of just living their life, and you're just part of like, you're just, you know, riding the you know, what's it, like the inner tube down the slow river of life with them as opposed to going through the rapids with somebody, you know, and you're like living that exciting moment. I think there's something there about that. It's like you said, I think you see what they're doing. You know, you're watching. So that's the other thing. You're watching this, like, the intense moments that they want to show on social media.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of also interesting because, you know, those type of friendships come and go based off of what you're doing and when, you know.
Yeah.
Not really come and go, but they, like, they have high points and then like kind of just slacking off, and then they have a high point. But, you know, yeah, it's interesting. I think that's something that's like a new experience in the world with, you know, that came along with social media, having these, like, seeing just what people do, you know, seeing their highlights. Right. I was listening to, Kirk and Spiegel. Scott Kirk and whatever. You know, I listened to the 98 Rock radio show this morning, and they were talking kind of a similar type of thing. Like, you get this, they're saying that like loneliness is like a worldwide sickness, you know, like it's more than it now than it has been. And I think, you know, they were talking about social media and saying like, you're looking at all these people who in the past, you know, you've got this friend that you don't see and you don't care, you know, like, yeah, you might not, you want to see them, but you don't, there's no envy because you don't know what they're doing. But now with social media, you know what everyone's doing. Like, oh, look at Jim, you know, he's going to Bora Bora with his family. Like, I'm just here in my house doing laundry, you know, like, you know, you're seeing all this stuff. And so you're like starting to get envious and jealous of other people doing these cool things. But that's because the people, we have access to thousands of people, and they're all doing something cool at any time. You know, like, you get this like, a weird like depression because you're not doing the cool stuff all the time.
You know, I think I find personally, the older I get, the more open I am to friendship in a weird way. Even though I want to be on my own and, you know, have my own family, and, you know, you have less time for people.
Right.
Because when you're young, you have like drinking buddies and a big group, you know, and it's like, I kind of have a group of friends. Like, I don't need to meet a bunch of new people. There's a lot of people around all the time when you're young.
Right.
Yeah. And then it narrows. So then for me, you start to think differently about like, oh, well, you know, we've talked to him a few times. Like, I consider him a friend.
Right.
And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just, since it's not everywhere, you just like, when you spend time with someone, it's maybe a little bit more meaningful. Maybe that's a part of the social media thing too. When you have a podcast or when you do something or go to Maker Camp, you know, it's not, you don't get a lot of this just free time to commune with people.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, because we have access to so many people. Mm. So, you know, you get this, like, you know, 150,000 subscribers. Like, what does that mean? It means there's, like, 150,000 people who want to watch our videos. Mm. Yeah, it's a lot of people. But so we have access to a lot of people that way and through Instagram and through, you know, Facebook and social media. This, all this kind of access to just these, like, snippets of people's lives. But yeah, when you get the chance to sit down and talk to someone for an hour about their life and you just get a little bit more in depth, maybe we just don't have that opportunity so much anymore as adults because everyone is living their life and doing their own thing.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's why we all like Maker Camp so much, you know?
Right.
It's like a chance to hang out. Like, I like what Brian House said. He went to Maker Camp this year for the first time. And we went to Blade Show this year for the first time. And afterward, I think I was listening to him talk about it on the Workforce podcast, but he was saying that Maker Camp is like the pit at Blade Show, but the entire time, the entire weekend. Right. So it's like what you do in the pit, hanging out, talking, chatting, making connections, just like there, everyone's in the same space. That's what Maker Camp is the entire weekend, right? Yeah. So you're just there talking to people and having conversations and doing cool stuff and seeing cool stuff, and like everyone's on the same level. So
right,
you get that chance to make some of those connections that you don't, because we all are, you know, constantly chasing the likes and chasing the follows and the subscriptions and, you know, just a name and a check off on a piece of paper or on, you know, online.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah. And like, you know, what you said early on about the podcast is that we get to talk to people. And as much as like, as easy as it is to just have you and I like chat each week and talk about stuff, which is always fun. And you know, it takes some time and effort and some like research and some, you know, you have to kind of make a show that's interesting and it doesn't have a lot of lulls in the conversation and stuff to do that when we have guests. It is really fulfilling to talk to people and have that ability to like just chat with someone for an hour and a half or so or whatever it is, and have a little bit more in-depth conversation. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's easier with two people, and it's easier that it's you, because we kind of know when we can fill each other in.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll jump in now, and no one, it just flows. And I don't know. I like listening to, I truly enjoy listening to people's stories, as long as they're interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
There can be some really boring where I'm like, boring people. Not right. I don't think we've had any really boring ones on the podcast, but you know, in real life,
no.
Someone starts talking about something, you're like, this is the driest thing. Like, what are you talking about? I don't care.
Right.
But
I do as well. Like, there's lots of different types of, you know, podcasts with different formats and how they do guests and all, but I do really like hearing people's stories, you know. Here, like I love the backstory. I always love that about artists and stuff, you know, reading about where they came from and how they came into art, you know, makers. What do they do? What was their first thing they made that made them feel like a maker? Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, it's kind of the basic like interview stuff, but that's awesome to hear. That's why we all love the like outtakes and all the, and the, you know, the extras in the movies and stuff, because we want to know like behind the scenes a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
How somebody got started.
I just saw Weta Workshop on YouTube. They'll put stuff out, and they do a lot of collectibles that they design and they do and they build, and they have sculptors on their team, and obviously they have access to all the original things. So they make a lot of the great props and stuff, but they make a lot of cool, like, miniature environments, landscapes, you know, like, ooh, part of Bag End, or, like, Helm's Deep, There are all these collectibles. They're all super expensive comparatively what I would want to spend.
Right.
Like a $400 thing or a $1,200 thing. But man, they're so, so cool. And just watching the videos of them building those, you know, like by hand and sculpting them and painting them and then making a run of like 1,000 or 2,000 like statues or figurines. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be sweet. And then, you know, knowing that you're getting something from someone who's actually like, you know, there and has done it. You know, it's like getting a painting or something or a knife from somebody or, you know, something from somebody. You know that they put the time and effort to it. You can, I guess that's the story, right? You know, understand the story. You understand the person behind the thing that's being made.
Yeah. So one day I'll buy some expensive Helm's Deep or Bag End miniature thing.
You're like, put it up on your wall. You're like, I love this.
Yes. Like just look at it. Just have it on a shelf next to the editing area. And...
Oh, I mean, I have plenty of, you know, paintings and drawings and things from people that, like, if it wasn't someone that I specifically knew, I may not have taken, like, a second glance specifically at it, you know? But because it's someone that I know and because the story behind, like, I know why they made it or what they were thinking about when they did it, it makes it that, like, you know, 1,000 times more important and more evident in why I enjoy it, right? Like, because I know the story behind it, so.
Yeah.
You know,
so. That's
interesting.
Speaking of enjoying and intense things and ups and downs.
Yeah, we've got good news and bad news.
Yeah.
So, as we speak, it is 9:02 p.m. on Thursday evening in February 1st. Our older brother Drew, who's been on the podcast quite a few times, is at the hospital with his wife waiting to have a baby girl.
Yeah.
Any minute now. So, we'll see. Although Devin, being the consummate gambler that he is,
I didn't put any money on it.
put everybody on. We're all on a group family text this evening, and he's like, "All right, let's take bets on what time the baby's going to be born." So that was probably, what time was that? That was
like 6:00,
6:45 or something like that. Yeah, and so I was like, you know, like she was induced, so you know. In my mind, that means, okay, she's induced. Like, it's going to come no time, right? It's gonna be, everything is kind of pushed through. So, yeah, I guess pretty early, you know. But they had gone into the hospital earlier, so.
Yeah,
I guess 8:20.
You've been out of the game too long.
Yeah, I know. For us, it was like, you know, Nicole, her water broke at 5 o'clock in the evening, and then she didn't have Corinne until 1:13 in the morning, which is not that long. It was only 8 hours, but, like, things just moved along.
Yeah, the first for Maeve, Caitlin was also induced, and you know, basically 3 days later. And for Grant, it was you know, like at least 8 hours later.
Right.
It's a slow process.
Right. They were both induced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nicole was she was a day away from being induced, so she was, I guess, it was like 6 days late.
Mm-hmm.
They said like. At a week late, they would induce, which would have been on Labor Day. They were going to induce her on Labor Day.
Oh,
wow. just perfect.
But yeah, so hopefully maybe she's coming now. Maybe I guessed tomorrow, but around early tomorrow, about 12:45, 12:46 to be exact, was my guess.
Yeah, what our mom guessed 9:15, which is coming up in about 10 minutes. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And we say dad guessed 10:27. Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, having a new little girl in the family. So we have a lot of several pairs. Nicole and I were talking about this evening, the odds of having a girl and a boy when you have just two children. And actually, the odds of having a girl and a boy are the greatest odds. Because you have, so statistically you have like four combinations, you know, from the parents you have, say there's A, B, C, and D, right? Or no, that's A, B, and A, B, right? Two parents, two like girl or boy. So you have the AA combination, you have the AB combination, you have the BA combination, and then the BB combination. So the AB combination is your boy, and then the, you know, the AA or the BB is the girl. And so the chances of having an AB are 50% because there's an AB and a BA, you know, having from both mom and dad. The chances of having an AA, which is a girl, is 25%, and the BB is 25%. So you have 50% having a boy. So
I don't know if that's right.
That's when Nicole and I were like looking through it. We were like, we were reading a couple articles because we were just kind of talking about stuff. So yeah.
I don't know.
So like, and obviously that's statistics based off of just purely statistically, not anything to do with hormonal stuff or chemical stuff in women's bodies. And like, there's a lot of other stuff that goes.
Apparently I was told by Caitlin that the man carries the gene that, you know, the sex or the gender is from. That's what they say. So
yeah, right. Because there's X and Y sperm. Right. There's male and female sperm.
Right.
So the male chooses. Right. Exactly. Right. So the woman has the egg, and it's like a girl egg. Right. Yeah. It's always a girl egg. And then if there's a male or whatever, it's always an X egg. And if there's a Y sperm, then it becomes a boy. If it's an X sperm, then it's a girl. Right. Two X make girl. So. Like we were looking into it. So like, the male, quote unquote, male sperm, they are faster, but they die quicker. Just like dudes.
Just like real life.
The female sperm are slower, but they live a lot longer. So depending on when you're having sex based off of ovulation and all, there's times that you can kind of plan it if you want to have one sex or the other. So.
Is that right? Well, but, then, yeah.
Yeah.
We
read that it's the average, the worldwide average is for every 100 girls, 107 boys are born. So it's actually like statistically more men in the world. And maybe that's just like, you know, evolution making more males because males are the more like they're, you know, live a more dangerous life, go out and do things and have more of a chance to die. So,
yeah. Who knows? It's
crazy stuff.
I got one of each.
Right. So you have one of each, and Drew will have one of each, and Derek has one of each. So we were like, I wonder if we would have had another kid, if it would have been a boy.
Maybe.
We started off one girl, and that was it. But now we got plenty of, like, we got boys, and we've got girls. We have, like, a nice even mix in our generation of children. Yeah. Since the generation before us was all boys.
Right.
All our boys.
Right, right. it's fun stuff. So that's the good news. The bad news is the Ravens lost. Are out of the playoffs. So our joyous last podcast, ending it with Go Ravens.
Yeah, it was Matt's fault. He was too confident. He was like, that's what I said last year about the whatever, whoever it was that won. The Eagles, whatever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that was a dagger, man. That was a hard game to watch. Ugh.
Yeah.
So just too many things, you know. It's almost like predictable. Not that we would lose, but you know, with like the Travis Kelce stuff, like I could just tell he was like making it his job to mess with the defense's brains.
Yeah,
it was almost just obvious. I'm like,
everything on the offense that could go wrong did go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was obviously drops and bad calls and no, you gotta be on your best, like your best game. And it just like the other playoff games we've lost the last few years. It's just been, the team didn't look like itself.
Right. Yeah.
And all those little things you need to win games, it's just things that have to go your way just weren't going our way.
Right. Yeah. So we had what, 3 turnovers and almost 100 yards of penalties.
Yeah,
where they had no turnovers and they had like 30 yards of penalties. You know, so
yeah,
it's just it's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it was tough. Yeah, it was a tough one to swallow. It was, like I said, just like watching the game. It was like, come on, just do your thing.
Right,
have Lamar run more. We need to run the ball more. Just make some of those.
People need to make catches, man. You gotta make catches. Right. No one was catching. No one was just. Lamar wasn't seeing open, you know, there was open lanes or people were, he wasn't seeing it. It's just no one. I hate that. That's, you know, that's the curse of having a good team, I think, is that you feel as if, okay, we're definitely getting to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that matters is the playoffs.
Yeah.
Average teams, you know, it's a fight to get there. Like we've had a lot of years like that where it's, all the games are huge because you're not sure if you can even make it.
Right.
The Ravens now, you assume they were such a good team, they're going to make it. So then season starts in the playoffs and it just was a... Kansas City didn't even play that well. The first half or the first quarter, they played great. Like, they were on fire. Mm-hmm. We couldn't slow them down, but then we slowed them down.
Yeah.
Defense stepped up the whole second half. Like, they didn't look good either, but we also didn't look good.
And it was at 17, right? So, like, that's
17
the last,
10.
Like, 6-7 games in a row, we have only given up, like, 17 points. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so the defense did their job.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, there were, like, some stupid penalties and stuff, and they kind of got, like, I just think, it was just, it was tough.
I'll say there was one thing that happened on my end. So, doing the replays, there was one play that I don't know if it was set on TV, but Lamar had ran the ball on third down, like third and two, and he had crossed. He had made a first down, but they didn't call it. Mm. And I had a great look at it, so we showed my replay on the board. It was clear that he had a first down, but they hurried up so quickly that they went for the fourth and didn't make it.
Oh,
right. It was just another thing. Like, that usually doesn't happen. They usually take time to look at it if it's that close. But I think whatever they were trying to do, maybe they just thought, sometimes they think they can rush to try for the fourth down.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you had just waited, there's a clear view that was rough. You feel like you have something, you're like, great, here it is. Look, I got it, I tell the director, they say, here we go, let's roll it, let's show it. And then it doesn't get called, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
It was all that type of, all those little things just built up for an ugly game. Man, we were ready to celebrate. Like, we were, the whole crew was in a good, great mood. Like, the show was great. We had everyone there. Every Baltimore legend ever.
Right.
Every sports player, every mildly famous person was there.
Yeah.
And just no.
No. Stinky. Yeah, it was a dagger. And I was throughout the game, I was messaging back and forth with Brian Cohn from B Cone Knives, because he's been like rooting for the Ravens all season, and I've been rooting for the Lions, off and on, hoping for them to get there. And so, when the Ravens lost, he was like, "God, it's a bummer, man. Like, hopefully I'm not let down too." And I was like, "I'm rooting for you." So then throughout the Lions game, I was kind of, help rooting for him, and we're chatting and stuff. And the Lions lost too, man. It's like, ugh, man, can't get worse than that. Neither of the teams I want to get the Super Bowl there. Now you got the stupid Chiefs and the 49ers.
But I know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Not even enough
I'll
watch
guess,
it.
I guess I don't know. I like Brock Purdy. Like, I think he's cool. Like, a young guy, young talent. So hopefully he comes in. And I think if they play as well as they were in the middle of the season, then they obviously have the better chance of winning. So we'll see. But it's just Patrick Mahomes, man. It's just, he's squirrely. He's just too good. It's a good team. You just can't count him out.
All right.
It's rough.
So anyway,
so what do you think? On. Well, let's see. We got to make our final guesses, though.
Jeez.
I know you're like, I don't even want to.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I'll say San Francisco. I'm not rooting for stupid Kansas City.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to say the same thing. Because, All right. So, Devin and Dustin. Now, as of last week, did we get either one?
Were we tied?
Let's see.
No, we said Ravens and Lions, I think.
Yeah, so we were
both. We were both. Did we both
three? Then we had 3-3. So you were up. You're up one on me, as of last week. So we said, let's see.
Did you take the opposite?
I chose the Lions and the Ravens. You chose the 49ers and the Ravens. So
I did choose 49ers. All right.
Yeah. Yep. And then Matt also chose Lions and the Ravens. All right. Well. Congratulations. Because if we both win, then you're still up by two. And if we both lose, then you're still up by two. But, so tough loss. But that being said, there was some kind of interesting good news that the Orioles just sold the majority of, the franchise to new owners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's good news. It's a Peter Angelos, and the Angelos family has been the owners of the Orioles for a long time, and a lot of people aren't happy with the way he's run the Orioles. You know, he's like doesn't really want to spend a ton of money and stuff, and so it's been that way for a long time. Even now, we're not spending a ton of money, even though we've got a lot of great players. We've had a good farm system for a while. But they sold their majority, so
I think it can only get better. So
yeah, it just means that like there's people out there who want to spend money, right? Mm-hmm. We're like there are more people with deeper pockets who want to spend money, who want to see the Orioles get to a World Series. So that's like I think that's really good news. That's
yeah, no, cool. It's exciting. Maybe they'll pay their employees more. That'd be nice too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Maybe they'll fire everybody for that. Bring an all new crew. Like,
oh,
that's
boy. Happen.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. I'm excited to get back into baseball season. And I think, you know, I think we have a good shot next year as well with the Ravens. Like, we got a good core group of guys that will be back, and I think we'll be good again. So
yeah, we'll gotta sit through a whole season.
I know, right? Sit through a whole season. Ugh. Just to get back to the playoffs. It's a hard thing, you know, like winning the Super Bowl is not easy. You know, we're lucky to have two of them as Ravens fans, and the Ravens have only been around since, what, 96 or something, right? So,
yeah.
Not even 20 years yet. So, or I guess that's, yeah. Not 30 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a bummer.
I know. Yeah, you get that far, you just like,
yeah.
We haven't had, I mean, I guess we've had, you know, like lots of playoff losses, but. I don't know. This felt like the right year, man. They had all the talent,
all the pieces. Yeah, it just didn't work.
Yeah. Oh well.
Oh well. What are you gonna do?
Not much. Well, all right. Well, I have a couple new cool things that I have gotten, and so I want to get your opinion on video ideas for these cool things. So the first one is Nicole got me a Skeletool for my birthday. So I've had a Skeletool, Leatherman Skeletool, for ages and ages, since probably like 2000 and maybe 2008. Or so. I think maybe 8 or 9 is when I first got my first one. So I guess that's not ages and ages, but you know, it's a decent amount of time. Going on 15 years or so, having this basically the same knife in my pocket. And so I recently lost it, which I told you about when we were doing the whitewater rafting. It fell out of my pocket. And
right.
And I've been keeping my eye out for a good deal. And actually, there was a good deal where I found one. It was like $40 on sale for $40, so I bought it. But then it never shipped, and I tried to reach out to the guy, but the guy never emailed me back. And so then I it was through PayPal, so I was able to like get my money back or whatever. Yeah. So then for my birthday, Nicole got me a new knife, and so as soon as I got it, I started thinking like, oh, now like what can I do? What can I do to personalize this? Because I've got the laser now, right? So I could do some cool laser etching on it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about different things and like, you know, how do I do like some stuff with Art of Craftsmanship, or what do I laser etch on it? And I thought it'd be really cool to laser etch like traditional engraving, you know, like leaves and what are they called? Florets and stuff. The stuff that like Evan would do. Mm-hmm, but have that like on, you know, on the open, like the little open areas, like do some cool engraving on it, but then use a laser to do it. So I thought that'd be really cool, and I started to think like what I could do. Started doing a little research, trying to find out like, you know, those images and stuff online, and see if I can kind of like pick up enough images to find to like to make it, you know, take pictures and then make it on Illustrator and then laser etch it.
Yeah.
So do you think that would make a good video?
Maybe. I would think maybe if you drew it out.
Right, and I was thinking that like, does it or like, but I don't know if I want to draw it. Like, I feel like, because it's going to have to be a file. Yeah. So like, do I draw it and then I bring it into Illustrator, and then I like, then I have to like draw around everything in Illustrator, or do I just find it online and then import it straight into Illustrator?
You know, I would draw it since it's going to be so small. You can make it smooth enough to where you draw it and maybe fix it, you know, fix the lines a little, smooth out the lines in Illustrator, Photoshop.
Right.
And make them bolder, more bold, you know, and you shrink it down, you know, 10 times or whatever it will be.
Right.
And then you do a test, you know, and since you're drawing it, you have the shape already, you know, you print out, you have a paper cutout of what you're going to do, so you know it's perfect.
Right.
And then you just get the right size and it will shrink it down. I think.
I guess that's a trick. Then, like, yeah, print it out large, draw large, and then shrink it down.
Draw it large, okay. So then everything naturally will be.
Yeah.
Will be cleaner right. by the time right. you shrink it down, and then we have the process of you like drawing it.
Right. Yeah. And I was just thinking, I was like, does, I mean, obviously making anything fits the, you know, our style, but like, is there enough there? Like, cause if I was just going to like, is it mostly just drawing and then computer work and then sending it to the laser, you know? But I mean, I also need to figure out how do I set the laser up with the knife on it in the right way where I'm going to get the laser to etch in the right spot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because like the preview doesn't show me what it's going to etch. It just shows me a box around the area it's going to etch, you know? So like, then I guess I have to make some type of template that's the same shape so I can test etch it and then put in the knife and etch it.
Yeah. Or you know, you do something a little bit more like you do a painting on something bigger.
Right.
So you do on canvas, like a design, mm-hmm. right, that you then take a picture of. And then you, so it's like you do this big kind of nice, thicker painting, you know, with a half inch brush or whatever.
Right.
And you get these nice, you know, whatever vines and things and little, like you said, florets or whatever they are.
Right.
On something. And then it, you know, you go from like, how do I go from this painting, my painting, to it being a design on my knife.
Okay. Yeah. That's,
So it's a lot bigger. Right. It's not just a sketch on a thing. It's like on a canvas or something. Then you kind of have this cool painting of your, like, your knife.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, there could be some cool time lapse stuff with me, like doing, like laying out the drawing and drawing everything really big first or something, or printing it out and then transferring it over or doing something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be kind of cool. Yeah, like do it more like from this painting to this knife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. I had a I'll do one idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know exactly, but it's like a communal idea where it's either you start a new channel where there's a lot of people involved, which I don't think anyone does, because then you got to split everything and figure out a way, if it were to get big, to split like revenue and stuff. But
right,
if we took a bunch of people we really like and started a communal channel where it's each week someone else does a video and it's all on like a theme, like if we have 4 people or 8 people, we say, right. All right, we want everyone to do, and just, it can be so broad as of just a word or two.
Right.
Like Native American, that's it. And then everyone does a video. But
it has something to do with, yeah.
Yeah, at least 5 minutes, theme. So it doesn't have to be crazy. And if there's 4 to 8 people, then you have 2 months to do it.
Right, yeah.
And as it's coming along, you can watch other people do stuff. Mm-hmm. So then it's also, I would think it's kind of interesting in a viewer's thing as like, oh, it's this channel of collective like makers.
Right.
I think I was just trying to figure out a way to have other people do work on a channel.
Right. Exactly.
Like,
keep,
man,
consistent,
I,
you know, right. Yeah, grow because you have consistent videos coming out.
Yeah. But you have this kind of interesting like channel where it's a bunch of different people doing.
Right.
You know, but you would have to get a lot of people.
Right.
To want to do it, want to pitch in, and that was, I don't know, that was just an idea I thought would be fun if we got, like, 8 people that we like.
Right. I mean, they kind of, not exactly, like, tested, but, you know, they have, like, the stuff, like, Norm does videos, and then Adam does videos. You know, so you have this, like, company, basically, of different people doing different things that, you know, putting out a product.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, what's it called? Like, High Five Studios or something. That's the, no, there are a couple of different channels that they did, but it's basically like a YouTube company, right? Where it's like one company basically owns all the channels and they pay everybody a salary to create content, but all the, you know, like all the content is basically bringing in money for the owner, whatever. But
yeah, And also, I was thinking of, I don't know if I would do it on a separate thing or probably make an offshoot of our channel, is where no one steal this idea, but it's kind of been done anyway, is where instead of visiting people, I mean, you do that, but it's, you get someone who's, you know, good at whatever they're in their field.
Right.
And you do a bad, better, and best of whatever they want to do. So if you're a food person or you love wings, we'll have you talk about terrible wings. And then better, like, oh, these are really good wings, or, you know, better, I think that's right. A good middle ground, because you can either say, this is so much better, and not be insulting to whoever you're talking about.
Right.
Or you can go, all right, now a little better is this. This is a step up.
Yeah.
And then best, they talk about the thing they love in their field. Mm-hmm. So same thing, if it's blacksmith or it's Matt talking about, you know, the iron work he likes. Like, you start with bad, because I think each one of those steps, too, is interesting to hear from. It's like a reaction video. Mm, like, right. Ooh, 10 things I hate is this, or an opera singer reacts to Queen, stuff like that. Right, so it's kind of like a blacksmith talks about what good blacksmith work is, or an artist or a painter talks about good paintings. You go through with that.
That's kind of a cool
idea. You know, because, and then you can, again, you can... You get to talk to all these people, but you also you work with good people, and you get their takes on things.
Right.
So, you know, anybody we've talked to, you could get them to do it. And you could either do it in person, or, you know, if it's like a food thing, you go out to the places.
Right.
Or you have, you know, and then obviously you could make that into a very quick 1-minute video.
Right. Yeah.
Just to be as a secondary thing, just a little consumable thing, mm-hmm. that can go anywhere. That can be, you know, maybe that goes viral because you have a quick 3 things from someone.
Right.
And then if you watch the full video, it's, you know, they get a little bit more into it. Maybe you go visit the place. Maybe you see those things. That was an idea.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not bad.
Bad, better, bad, better, best.
Bad, better, best. The 3 B's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that idea. Like, I think that most people, you know, if they don't have a specific opinion about, like, what specific thing is bad, they'll know, like, what part of the thing or something that they look for that they recognize as, like, bad or, right. you know, like, not great, you know. And then something that's, like, mediocre and then something that's the best, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think you're as interested in what's bad as what is the best, right, of something. People want to hear both of those things.
Yeah, at that point, it's like almost educational. You know, like, why is it bad? Right? Because obviously, they're going to have that. You know, it's like, this is bad because of this. Like, this thing is. You can tell this is bad or this is beginner because of this thing. As opposed to this other thing. Right.
And those two edges are like the most popular types of videos. This thing was horrible. Right. I hate this thing. You want to hear about why. Or this thing's the greatest thing ever. You want to hear about why.
Yeah.
You know, so you have each dynamic in one video.
Right. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what makes something like standard, you know, like a good.
Yeah, right. You know? Like, so better can be, as like I said, it can be just a little bit better, or it can be like, now you had that terrible thing and this is way better. This is close to what I think is the best thing. And then they're going to have something that's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, as a maker, and as an artist, like, I definitely, when I think of that concept, I think of things that stand out as bad, or, like, I keep saying beginner because it's like something where it's like an uneducated version of the thing, you know. And I can think of, like my main hobbies is, like, obviously painting and drawing and, you know, fine art, something I've done for a long time. What makes a painting good, or what makes, like, what painters do I think are good? Which ones I think are, like, not so good, and reasons why.
Right.
You know, knife making, things that, like, beginner knife makers do as opposed to average knife makers, and then as opposed to, like, really good knife makers, what stands them apart.
Right.
And then, you know, like, axe collectors or like tool restoration, things like that. You know, there are things that I've like learned over the years, and you progress as you like grow in an art form or craft or a hobby. And then you can look back on those things that, that you didn't recognize as not high quality when you started. Right. So like that might be interesting for someone listening being like, oh, these are the things that I can look out for as a beginner and understand, you know, what's a beginner thing or what's a bad thing as opposed to what's a, you know, mediocre to good and then what's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'm sure you'd have people who have like more specific opinions on like films or on, like you said, on food or on sports or, you know, or.
Yeah. You could like just someone who interests you in any field, you can get them to. Right. And just have them like, all right, you got to pick a bad one. I know you might not, you might say like, you know, they're all starting. They're all just have fun with it. You don't have to trash anyone specifically. And let's say you deserve to be trashed. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Have fun with it. If you're a painter, you can say Thomas Kinkade paintings are bad. Right. I mean, obviously, and then that's obviously a lot of people like them and they do have value because they're cute paintings.
Right.
That kind of take you away to some like magical cabin, you know, with glowing lights. Like it's fine, it's nice.
Yeah, but there's plenty of reasons something's bad is gonna have an opinion on why.
Right
You're so gonna know why you think it's
bad. That's the interesting part. Like just let's have fun with it. Come up with something that's bad and then something that's great and then
something in between. Yeah, interesting. I like it. Thinking a lot of stuff. All right, well, my other question about a video idea is on the new sewing machine that I got. So you were like, that would make a cool video.
Yeah.
But like, what do we do? Is it like is it just introducing the new sewing machine, getting it set up? Or is it hey, this is the new sewing machine, let's make something with it? You know, could be both. Or like, could those be two different videos?
I think you got to set it up and then and then do just something basic with it.
Right.
And then from there, then continue to do videos with it, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so the sewing machine is, the thing is, like, I don't know a lot about it, and I haven't been able to find a lot about it because it doesn't have a ton of information on it. It's from the company Neil's Saddlery, but Neil's Saddlery is not a sewing machine company. They're a distributor of sewing machines and other things. So you'll find different sewing machines with the name Neil's Saddlery on it. But a lot of times they'll have like a model name of what the model is, but this one just says Neil's Saddlery twice, and then it has a product number, not a product number, but like a, you know, a stamped number of like when it was made, you know, what it is as it's made, right? Yeah. So it's like 0432967 stamped in like a little piece of tin on the back, whatever, right? So it's not like a M47B, right? Which would be like, okay, that seems like more of a product number, you know, as opposed to just this is the order that it was made, you know? So I haven't been able to find anything. Like when I search Neil's Saddlery, it brings me to the Neil's Saddlery website, and there's a photograph of the exact model of sewing machine that I have on their website, just in the body of like a paragraph talking about sewing machines. But it's not clickable. It doesn't talk about that sewing machine, but it's like the only picture of any sewing machine in that first page. You know, then you can click on like go to sewing machines and they talk about the different ones they sell, and they basically sell like different ones from different companies, right? So they're a distributor. So I don't know. I don't know what to like.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I need, you know, not that I like need to know about it, but I'd like to get a user's manual because I'm sure there's specific things about upkeep and things about how specifically to thread it and all that, you know, like I'm sure I could figure that out, but like that's some of the like things I've been thinking, like, well, what do I do? I bought, so I got it, and it has the base. Has like it's got a separate motor and a pulley, and also it runs on a separate motor, half horsepower motor. It's got a base with a foot pedal attached to it, and the base had four screw-in adjustable feet, or it had two out of four. There's supposed to be four, but there were only two. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I need to get two more feet. But I also wanted to be mobile in my shop because it weighs probably 250 pounds in total.
Damn.
And so I was like, well, let me see if there's like screw in casters if they exist. You know? So I actually went to Home Depot and I took one of the feet off the base. I like unscrewed it, took it with me, and then I figured out the threads and stuff. And then I looked around and I basically saw that there are, you know, thread in casters. So there weren't exactly at Home Depot what I needed, but I found out the thread count and I got what I needed. So then I went online and ordered them. So I have those casters to put in. So I've got like the casters to put in, and then I have the sewing machine. But you know, I'm waiting to see like maybe we should do a video of like setting it up and figuring out what's going on with it.
So. Yeah, no, I think that's good, and I think that is our video. The way you're talking now,
right?
The interesting part is figuring it out.
Yeah,
and I've been thinking a little bit about it for things like that. I think we should have. Either I can, since we have two cameras now, we should have one rolling and I can shoot normal, or we just set up one and let it roll. I'll sit behind camera and just you figure it out.
Right.
And then turn the camera whenever, or, you know, it's just, and then we'll just edit the bits of you, the little, oh, okay, bits, you know.
Right, yeah.
And have that as a, maybe half time lapse, maybe not, maybe it stops right. And goes, but just chop it up that way. So it's 5 minutes of one angle chopped up, but it's you figuring stuff out. Oh, that's one. Oh, this is, oh, I'll drop this here, you know, and you just have right. that. We let it run for whatever, 40 minutes.
Yeah. And then you have, as the secondary camera, you're like seeing right. what I'm doing, close ups, right. getting things. Like, yeah. So then you can cut back and forth between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'm wondering, you know, for, like things like this where I get something and I'm excited about it and I want to figure stuff out. I'm like, I need to like hold, I'm holding off because I want to do it, right. but I also want to like have that on film. Right. So I'm like, okay, well, what should I do? Should I set up my camera and do some like selfie stuff of me just talking about what I'm doing or looking for, you know, like do I capture that with the GoPro or my phone or something, or do I just hold off? I mean, obviously with the, like the big stuff, like threading it, figuring it out. But like, I guess, you know, like knowing, like trying to find stuff online, right? There's a number that I can call. There's a Neil Satterly, like call for, you know, help. So I can call and I can see if they can send me the user's manual for that specific model. If
right.
they have it, I'm assuming they do. But yeah, I mean, the person I got it from told me that it like, it runs really well, you know, and it was smooth when they were using it, but they just weren't using it. And so basically like it's on kind of a, you can have it long-term loan thing. Like if they may ever need it back, they'll know where it is to come use it kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the camera that I let you borrow back in when you were in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you can use it. You know, if I ever need it, I know where it is. That right. type of thing, you know? It's kind of like, you know, I have things from dad that he said that over the years, he's like, yeah, I don't ever use it. So if, you know, you can have it. And then if I ever need it, I'll come down to your shop and I'll use it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So super excited about that. Like that's a, it's a crazy sewing machine. It's got a walking foot. It's a gigantic beast and it can, I'm sure it can sew through like, you know, layers and layers of leather. It's, that's what it's for. It's a saddle sewing machine. So
right.
it is a giant and it is exactly what I've been looking for. You know, it can do it all, which is super cool. So
yeah. See that, all that stuff is, I think, what we should try to capture. We do a little bit more of that type of thing. I think that can improve our videos.
Right.
Like having those natural reactions captured. That is the good style of people setting up a GoPro or vlogging.
Right.
Because then you can get the real bits. I mean, that's what we do anyway, but there's a little bit of you react and I go, okay, let's talk, let's do that.
Right.
And tell me what you're thinking now. You know, there's a little bit of a, there's, oh, I'll do this as my recommendation early. David Hillowitz Music.
Okay.
He is great. He takes old synth stuff and old instruments and like fixes them and then figures out how they work and then makes loops of them so other people can use them, like in synth stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll take some old, you know, 80s Japanese keyboard that had some weird noises and then run it through something and then make samples of it so other people can use it and then open it up and maybe fix something in it. But the whole video is, it's like, it is nice because it's like looking straight down on whatever he gets. You know, he slides it into frame and then just goes about describing how he's doing stuff. Like, oh, I wonder... It's like a voiceover later, but he does it so nice and naturally. Like, I wonder if I take this out, maybe, yep, that changed the sound, and I'll add this, and then I'm going to add that. And if I just clean this here, yeah, that makes it much better. I like that. Let's see how this works. Boom, 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 and you'll play some music. Oh, I like that sound. Let me train that. Okay, perfect, you know?
Right, so you're capturing all the stuff in the moment.
It's him, working out a new piece of equipment. I think that's what you can do with new tools, is a little bit of that.
Right.
I wonder how this works. Oh, this caster. I picked up this caster to make it work better. And then maybe I can put it on this stand. So if we just capture that stuff, set up one camera, and maybe I have a second camera shooting with a longer lens, or we just have the one camera running, you get those bits, which are really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beast, though. I had to put it into my truck, which I... You know, because it sits on the stand, but it wasn't bolted to it. So I loosened the belt and took it off of the top. And some of that was like, I needed to because to transport it because it was so heavy, but also because it could come apart, but also because it was so heavy, you know, it was like, I had to take it apart. And so I was like, you know, if this thing flies around, if I hit a corner and this thing flies, it's gonna kill me or somebody, or it's gonna kill my truck. So I was like, well, what do I do? And so as you saw the picture of it belted into the front seat,
funny.
And I was actually wondering, I was like, well, you know, this thing, whatever, it probably weighed, I would say, at least 150 pounds, if not more. Like if it's like low center of gravity and sitting in the seat, I even like hesitated, like, not that not buckling it in was an option, like it was definitely gonna be buckled in, but I thought about like even tying it onto the seat, because I was like, if I hit my brake slowly, it's just gonna roll straight off the seat, you know, because the seatbelt's not gonna stop it, because it has to be really fast for the seatbelt to stop it. So I was like, there are a couple of times when I'm like, hit the brakes and put my hand over and grab onto
stop
it, like
short.
It's a child, you know, you stop short, yeah, right, because it's like, it weighs so much, like just putting it up into the seat of the truck was crazy. It's like, thing is nuts, and so like to get it down in the shop, so you know, like to get in the shop, I have to like crouch down and walk in, like, and how do you do that holding like something super heavy? So I just, and actually it was when there was still snow on the ground, so I couldn't even pull my truck over close to the shop. So I had to like, so I got a rope out and I made like a big loop and I wrapped it like over my arms and then under the top of it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a baby Bjorn. I'm like holding it in my front attached with ropes, holding it and waddling from where I parked my truck, you know, whatever that is, 50 yards to the back of the house. And then I like put it down and like walking it downstairs and getting in there. I was like, oh man, it was a beast. It was no joke. And then the base is probably like another 70, 80 pounds or so. So, but all that being said, that thing is like, it's a solid piece of machinery. So,
right.
I'm very excited. Yeah. So, but that'll be, I think that those both things, I was like, these are two interesting things that I'm super excited about, but I don't know if they translate into good videos, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, when do we make that distinction between something that I'm like, this is great. I want to like go into Illustrator. I want to build this thing. I want to make, you know, this image, and then I want to laser etch and the knife. And it's going to like come away. I'm going to be so jazzed about what I have at the end. But like, there's not a lot of me making in there. It's just
right.
So me that's doing a thing that comes out with the product, but that, the machines are making it.
Yeah. That's why we fill the time with you. The interesting part is figuring out how the cool machine works.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the cool part. And then later on, right, you make cool things with it.
Right.
But we get the footage of you figuring out how the cool thing works. Yeah. Cause that's, I love those just as much too. Like,
yeah.
And when someone has something new and they're trying to, the excitement and the figure in and all that stuff is nice to watch.
Yeah. People who love, you know, things and get new things, new tools, new machines, like that like the fizz you get from opening it up and checking it out and trying it out for the first time and putting it in your shop and you're finding a spot for it. Like that's something that we all love, but how do you like capture that on video? You
know? Right.
So we'll see. So, the last thing I was thinking about talking about, which is super exciting to me, is that, I recently reorganized and cleaned and purged our studio here in the house. So I'm now sitting in the studio, which I've been sitting in for the last 3 years since we've been doing this podcast. And ever since we started, the studio always looked exactly the same. It was like a giant flat file sitting in front of me, completely topped off with shit, because it's a big horizontal surface, and then a smaller table that I had my podcasting stuff on that was completely covered in shit, as well as my podcasting stuff. And then surrounded by me was just like an entire room full of arts and craft supplies and arts and books and like tons of fun stuff, but no organization, or at least like moderate organization. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't a space we could use. It was just like a big storage closet.
Yeah.
So Nicole and I were talking about wanting to reorganize it. And so we're like, you know, this is last week. We're like, we want to do this. We want to kind of get this space, you know, a better space and have like a sewing machine and stuff in here. And so I was like, all right, well, let's do it this weekend. You know, we'll kind of go in, we'll clean out a bunch of stuff, we'll purge a lot of stuff, and then we'll see how the space works. So Saturday morning, I woke up kind of thinking about it right away in the morning, because I was like, I was excited to do it. And so I actually made a drawing, you know, to scale of the room in my sketchbook. And then I made the few things in the room that were going to stay, I made out of paper, you know, like flat, like just the shape of them, so I could move them around on the scale drawing of the room and see, like, you know, measure, figure out the space and stuff. And so I had the big flat file, which is about, it's like maybe 4 feet by 3 feet. So it's a big, like, flat drawer. So, you know, drawers that you can put artwork and stuff into. So I had that I knew that was going to stay. And then we have two shelves that have books and supplies and stuff on them. And they're both about 1 foot by 3 feet. So I knew those things were going to stay. So those are the biggest things that were going to be moved around. So once I kind of like organized how that would look and where we could move things around, then it left me with like how much room's left over and what can we fit in that space. So originally I was thinking maybe like a 2 foot by 6 foot table, or like a 30 inch by 6 foot table, which is kind of a standard table. And then once we kind of moved around looking at it, we're like, well, maybe a, like, and I was thinking the table would be like against the wall, you know, the long way. So it would actually just sit against the wall. But then Nicole was like, well, she wanted to come out from the wall the long way, so that way she could work on both sides of it. So then we kind of, we thought, okay, well, maybe if we can find a table that's like wide, like 3 feet by 5 feet. So a little shorter, but a little wider, we would like be able to use the space. And, so Saturday morning, we basically spent Saturday from, I don't know, maybe like 10 o'clock until about 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock or so, just cleaning and purging. So basically like going through stuff, throwing stuff away. We over the weekend, we did 2 truckloads of stuff that went to the dump. Like, and that's just bags of trash and cardboard.
Little room, or was that
from that little room? Yeah. Jeez. And there was a couple other things, like the box from the e-bike, and, you know, a few other things that I just took as well, you know, to fill up the truck. Yeah. But twice I had to go. So at the end of the, and that's the reel that I made, which is like the beginning. I took the video of the room, then I took the end of day one, the end of day two, and then the end of day three. And just like the amount of stuff. And so like the end of day one, we had gotten rid of a ton of stuff, which is like we had made good progress. We knew that the next day we'd be able to basically start moving things around, right? Or start like removing new things and then thinking about how we could use the space. So all day, all day two, we basically had like this fun trip down memory lane because we were going through all the art in the room, like all of my art and a lot of Nicole's art that we had in like flat, in like vertical storage.
Right.
And so we went through all that and like transferred it into the flat files. So like hundreds of drawings and paintings and things is all that had been like stored in boxes and stored in vertical stuff and in portfolios all made their way basically everything into the flat files we wanted to keep. We threw away a lot of stuff. We came across a lot of really cool artwork that I've done over the years and that Nicole's done. Like we came across the drawing that I did on the first day that Nicole and I met. Which is super cool because the day that we met, we were in the Fox building on the MICA campus. We were in drawing class and our assignment for the day was to sit at the end of one of the hallways and do a 1-point perspective drawing of the entire hallway. And so we were just basically told like, okay, go to this building and find, go, there's like four floors. Each one has a long hallway. Go find one end of the hallway, figure out which one you want to sit at and draw the hallway in 1-point perspective. And so I walked over, I'm walking up and down, I'm looking for a good view. And I come out onto one of the floors at the end of the hallway, cause there's stairs near the end of each hallway. And they're sitting on the ground there already starting to draw is this cute blonde girl who I had seen in class, but I hadn't really talked to yet. And so I was like, this looks like a really good spot for me to sit down and draw. And so I did. And that was Nicole, right? So that was like the first day we met. And I had the drawing that I did that day. And we came across it. And I was like, no way. It's so cool. So that was fun. Like, I can't just really, it was really fun to just go through it one by one. And, you know, think, figure out things. Oh, I remember. So Saturday morning, the reason why I woke up, or not the reason, one of the things I was thinking about when I'm like laying in bed right after I woke up was, how do I throw away artwork? You know, like, that's what was going through my head. Like, we're going to come across artwork in this room that I just can't keep anymore. And like, what do? Like for an old painting, do you take it off the stretchers? Do you just roll it up? Do you throw it away? Like, do you get like, how do like, and so fortunately I didn't really have to do any of that because all the stuff, anything that I like, any paintings that I've actually completed, I kept.
Yeah.
For the most part, right? There are a few things like little ones here and there that I might have tossed that were on paper or something that weren't finished or, you know, I didn't really care. But anything that was like on canvas was like a real painting. I basically kept lots of drawings, you know, lots of pastels and things. And so my mindset was kind of like, you know, maybe in 100 years, like they're going to want to have all this stuff of my work, you know, like, have like a, you know, the life and times of Dustin O'Hara and all the artwork in a show or something. I was like, you know, there's got to be something left behind. So some of the stuff that I may have like thrown away if I didn't really care, I was like, well, I'll keep it because I have the storage space. Like I have the flat files to do it. So I took some time, did all that. So once we went through all the art, which was basically day two, and really, like, we had a whole section of the room that was just these vertical, like, a vertical storage of artwork and stuff. We basically got through all that and then put the flat files where that was and consolidated that flat vertical stuff to just a few things.
Hang on. I'm watching it now.
Okay.
So where are you? Where's your podcast? Is it when you walk in the doors to the left or is it straight ahead on the middle table?
Where was it?
Where is it? Where are you now?
So right now I'm in each of those four shots of the panning from left to right. In the last one, you'll see the table is set up and the computer, my laptop is actually sitting on the table next to the sewing machine.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting with my back to the closet that's behind me, which is on the far right side as you pan all the way to the right. So I'm sitting with my back into that corner. The computer's in front of me and I'm sitting looking at the shelves across the room in front of me. The
and towards the window to the left.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So now I have like this open space and actually Nicole was, she just finished a sweater, knitting a sweater, and she wanted to block it, which is basically when you wet it and lay it out. So it like takes a new form. It stretches everything out a little bit. And so she wanted to do that. So we have the secondary, this little table, that was a folding table that she like I was like I'm doing the podcast, so I can't really have like that sweater laying out on this table, which is where she would have done it. But we have this other little table that we were actually able to set up in the space, which is the table that I used to have the podcast stuff on. And it's like sitting there, and it's still, you know, it's like a foot and a half between it and the table. And there's a foot and a half to 2 to 3 feet around the table still in the room, and like completely open floor, which is a miracle. It's crazy. Yeah. So day two, we basically did all that. And at the very end of day two, which was Sunday, which is right before the football game, I was like, all right, well, before we finish, and this was like, we had the bookshelves that are now on the wall near the window were on the right side. I was like, well, let's just move the bookshelves. And Nicole's like, yeah, but I don't want to do that. We got to like unload them all basically to move them. I was like, we don't have to unload everything. We just have to get some stuff off and we can put it back on. So like, she's like, all right. So we did it really quickly. So it was like really satisfying to finish that second day with the flat file moved and the bookshelves moved into their new location. Which then like, opened up the middle of the floor, which was like, okay, now we can make progress, right? We can actually do something. So then Monday, I was at work, and I mentioned that the night before, I was like, well, I said to Nicole, I was like, if you have some time at work, maybe keep your eye out or look around, see if someone, you know, we can find a 3-foot by 5-foot table. It's kind of a specific thing we're looking for. And so the last hour of work that I had at school, I actually don't have a class. And so I was kind of finishing up some work, and I was also at the same time searching like Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and looking for 3-foot by 5-foot table. And I found a couple and I kept sending them to Cole, and they were all in the $100 range or $150 range, you know, people selling stuff. And then I found one for $45. Fell's Point. Yeah. So this is like a 3-foot by 5-foot, basically like an, you know, a dining table with, you know, turned legs and just like a flat top and dark top with white painted legs and just a standard, you know, kind of small dining table. So it was like perfect. And so I messaged the person, and I was like, and Monday morning when I woke up, I got a message on my phone, a text saying like, this is a fraud alert, you know, like this amount of money was charged to your card. If this is false, you know, like if this is you, hit no. Yes. If this is not, you know, click on this link, blah, 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 blah. Which, and it was like exactly the right length of all those scam texts that we've been getting, that everybody's been getting. So I was like, God, so I almost just like discounted it. I almost deleted it. And I was like, but it actually said Truist, which is my bank, you know, it was like Truist fraud. So I was like, huh. So I actually went and I logged into my bank, and like right when I logged in, it popped up the alert. It was like, you know, there's a fraud alert, blah, blah, blah. So I, you know, put in basically like, no, I didn't buy these things. So they stopped the card. And so when I messaged the person, I was like, I said to them, I was, you know, I sent a message like, is it still available? And would you take Venmo or PayPal? And so I was really hoping that they would say yes for that, because if they were going to say no, then I'd be like, okay, well, maybe I can come back tomorrow or get it. You know, it was like, it felt very scammy for me to be like, well, I can't get cash out right now because my car's not working. So I was like, no, please don't say that you only want to take cash. Cause I was like, it's such a good deal. So fortunately the woman was like, yeah, it's fine. I'll take Venmo. So I went down and picked it up and brought it home, and then I was like excited, right? So then I had the table. It was like the third day, and that was my kind of goal the whole time. I was like, I gotta keep going because I'm excited about it, and if I stop, it's never gonna get done. You know, like if we stop, it's just not gonna get done. We gotta keep going. We have to like finish what we started. And so I got the table and I put it up, and then I spent like, you know, maybe another hour and a half to 2 hours. Nicole, we did some stuff. We kind of rearranged some stuff. And then I spent a couple more hours just cleaning things up and hanging up some artwork and just making it feel nice. You know, I was excited to have this space, and it made me excited to use it. You know, I was like, now's their space. Now I want to go in there and I want to do a drawing, and I want to like do a painting. Like I have the studio again. I want to like read my art books and like, is a cool experience. So I wanted to ask you that, like, what conditions do you find that you work best in? And like, does that type of thing, does like a clean space or like a, you know, a space that you've like made specifically for your work, does that make something that you do better? Or does it make you like want, you know, like what are those conditions that you want to put in yourself to make you work better?
Just like your computer and stuff was kind of in the junk room, So was ours. Like, the office became the junk room. And it's actually cleaned up now. And we split it into a bedroom on one side and in the office. So it's a bit more consolidated now. Definitely when it's clean, I feel better. I mean, my desk is a mess. It's got so much books and camera gear and headphones and cards and batteries all over it. Mm-hmm. I want a nice space to edit in. Like, that's my dream, is to, like, if we had another house or a basement or something, where I could grab a 10 by 10 area and make it really nice. Have a nice desk on one side and maybe a couch on the other and some shelves with things I like. You know, like a nice painting or photographs, things like that on the walls, and just a nice... Yeah, space to create or to edit, which would be my thing. And to put my camera gear in nice places and have everything. Yeah, I love a nice space like that. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah, because half the like problem is just wanting to be in the space to create. So like having a space that you want to be in, you want to be there. You don't even have to make anything.
Right.
You just want to be in that space. So then, like, wanting to be there, then you're in that space, then you're going to start being creative.
Like, yeah, I was talking, like, when I was talking about timber framing and stuff, that's another thing, would be if you can't have the office in the house, if you could make a timber frame building and kit it out just like what I would use it as the office, be the outside office. So you'd walk in, beautiful timber frame building, a lot of windows, but straight ahead would be like the office towards the end, where someone, I would be facing the door if I was on the desk, you know, so you can see the whole room and who's coming in, and then just have comfortable spots to sit, or, you know, a monitor in the corner or something where you could show someone what you're working on, stuff like that, and a nice sound system. Just somewhere to be in a nice space like that. That's what I'd really, really like.
Yeah.
Somewhere to put my model of Helm's Deep.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Just those things. I love having those idea of having those few things around that are just inspirational. Hence the reason I stare. I watch, you know, I pull up at least a nice photo of something on my screen or do the podcast,
right?
Something, you know, like, I need something to look at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if like being inside and painting inside is like something I want to do. It's not really something I want to do, but having a dedicated space that feels good to be in,
right?
It makes me really excited to like to set up an easel in here or to do a painting or do a drawing, you know, just because I have the space and I have access to the materials and it's all like nice and easy to get to, right? It's all like, if I want to, you know, get some paints out, I know exactly where they are. If I want to use like pencils or cut or, you know, pastels, it's all right there in front of me. It's not like there's no step, there's no hurdle to get to that creative space.
Yeah.
And that's what's like super important for me to have the shop downstairs. Same thing, right? Having everything where it's supposed to be, the tool, I have access to the tools, you know. And that's like, someone made a comment again on our wooden sword video, like, and this, like, I've had the same comment in positive tone and a negative tone, which is like, oh yeah, this is great. Now I just need like, you know, all these really big, you know, really good wood shop tools to make this wooden sword. And I'm like, okay, you know, and then like today comment, someone said it again, but they were like, oh, like, yeah, now I just need to get myself like a really sweet shop like yours. And I'll be doing these all the time with like a, you know, a heart at the end, you know? So it was like, they were saying it in a good way, but like, but it is true. It's like, you know, I've acquired those things over the years because it was like, I ran into a hurdle where it's like, okay, well, I need this other tool so I don't have this hurdle, so then I can make this thing, you know? And I've been able to make do with a lot of quote unquote subpar tools because they've enabled me to like jump the hurdle in that moment, you know? So it's like, if I need to cut something really quick, well, a chop saw is a way to cut something really quick, or a bandsaw is a way to cut something really quick. Otherwise, I got to get out a handsaw and cut it by hand. And then that's a hurdle.
Right.
You know, it's I can do it, but it's like being able to do something else quick or cut out something and not have to use a jigsaw or have to use like a coping saw, you know, to be able to do it on the bandsaw or drill a hole really quickly with a drill press, right. You know, and switch it out and do all that stuff and drill it really accurately and straight with a tool, you know, tools that aren't all that expensive, but like the investment in hurdle jumping, right? The investment in giving yourself something to get you to that creative space earlier, whether that's money or time, is like, I think, really important in a creative person's mindset, which is why a lot of people really want to have like a studio if they're an artist, or they want to have a workshop if they're a crafter. Right. Like, you want to have that dedicated space.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's I'm working on having two sheds into work usable space.
Right, yeah.
And the one, I want to turn into, you know, like a tavern, but that's just more usable space to watch movies with the family, have people over, hang out in there, you know, it's another, you know, that won't be, it won't be a work area. It'll be a fun place, but a fun space is also, you know, a viable, you know, a space to blow up steam and go out and hang out. And it's just,
You're giving yourself a location so you don't have the hurdle of do you have to clean the house? Do you have to set up? Do you like use your dining table to put food out? Like there's the hurdles of like, I want to have people over and have a good time and watch a movie. But then there's all these hurdles to get there. So if you have that dedicated space, you know, you can invest that time and that effort into like giving yourself something that's not the hurdle again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I was thinking that as we were talking too, like, you know, would that, you know, could it be a combined space like the man cave / editing studio? There's enough space there, but you know, like
it would have to, I think it would have to be the only way I would leave the house is a really nice space. So yeah, it'd have to be like a timber framed thing or an awesome thing because it is. It is nice to be in the house.
Right, exactly. Especially with
a family. You need to be kind of around to hear things and, you know, you squeeze in work when you can at night and stuff. But, you know, the kids are around and everyone's sleeping, but you're still present in the house if something happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, you know, as a, you know, quote unquote hobbyist, you know, maker, you know, it's not my profession, it's not my career to be making things, you know, having that, even the hurdle of having to go outside and walk around the house into the back is sometimes a hurdle, you know, it's like, you know, so when I was actually working here in the studio, I needed to figure out a way to attach the microphone to the table. And, you know, with these podcasting mics, they're on a little bendy spring arm, you know, and it has a clamp that can attach to the table. But the top of this table has a quarter round all the way around the whole top. That's probably about an inch, you know, so it's not a small one. It's a big round. And the clamp wouldn't hold on to that because it's not enough material.
It's not deep enough.
Right. So I had to make a wooden bracket that I could screw into the leg that I can clamp it into. And just doing that, like I had to go up and downstairs to the shop like 3 or 4 times because it was like try something, make it, go downstairs, come back up, and it was like it was like right on the edge of being too much of a hurdle by the end where I was like, do I want to go downstairs one more time? I was like I was like, in that moment the conditions were that I wanted to have this space done because it felt really good. You know, I was still excited about it. So it was like, it was worth it. I was like, I'll just walk downstairs. It's, you know, it's going to take me 2 minutes to walk it out from the studio into the living room and then through the kitchen and out through the laundry room and out the back door and around past the smithy and then into the basement and do what I need to do and then back up across past the smithy and around the house and into the laundry room and into the kitchen. You know, it's like, so that, you know, that hurdle. Like I said, it's different. If it were my profession or a career, right, then it might actually make more sense to have, like, a dedicated space, right? So, it's...
You need to be away.
Right, exactly. You need to separate these two things.
I need to separate myself, yeah.
Yeah, family time and work time. Yeah. Hopefully those things all come together. But yeah, so I just thought that was interesting, you know, because, like, just...
Yeah.
Like, I found myself, when I was done with this room on Monday night, I just like came back and sat in the room. I was like, ah, you know, it's like I had this space. I can come back, hang out in it. And I put together that reel of the space just sitting in here at the table. You know, it's like, I don't have a comfortable chair. I just have a stool right now. And Nicole and I are talking about like what type of chairs we might want to get in here, cause we want to get something else. And, but even still, I was like, I just want to be in this space. Like it's just gives, it's giving me the fizz, you know, like I'm excited to have you. Yeah. Like I said, I hung up some artwork and I hung up a bunch of, you know, a bunch of rulers and stuff that had been hanging around different places. I just put a nail on the wall and put them all up in one spot, you know? So it's cool. It's exciting. It's exciting to have a space that's dedicated to what things you love to do, you know? And like the potential has been here these like last 10 years. And we kind of, you know, the space has changed a little bit. And there was times when it was more organized and less organized and we had more room and less room. And we've gotten things that we put into the room and we've taken things out. So it's kind of changed over the years, but it's never really been a good space to work in. So now it's like, it's a good space to work in. So, you know, and it, that way, like if Nicole has projects, she can work here on the table in the studio instead of like what we would have done. She or I work on the table in the dining room, you know,
right.
The dining room table has a bunch of stuff on it. So
right.
Now we got the space and she's like wanted to put her sewing machine out on the table and like actually have it stay there and not have to be put back in the little case and put back on the shelf, you know? So it's like, you can stay there full time. So if you have something, you know, same thing as me, it's like having that tool out, then you can just use it really quickly, you know? So
yeah,
it's cool.
That's great. That's
awesome. Yeah. So I like it. And actually I was listening to, a recent, tested video Adam Savage, just like one of the ones where he's like talks to you know, he answers questions from his patrons and stuff, live videos, and somebody asked does his wife Mrs. Don't Try This, does she ever come to the cave? And he was saying how like she does not often come to the cave,
yeah,
his workshop, because to her it's too chaotic. It like gives her anxiety to be there. It's like too much stuff. Yeah. You know, too, like, and obviously he said like she, over the years, like she's been there hundreds of times, of course.
Right,
like
there's,
they hold parties there and like,
but she's not going to hang out.
Exactly. It's like, she doesn't want to come to the cave and just hang out with him, cause it's like too much stuff, you know, but like for him and like for me, I would like, I'd be there all the time. Like just being in that space is like infinite possibilities, you know? So often, you know, I'll go downstairs in the shop here and I'll just, if I have some time to kill, or if I'm thinking about doing something, or I need to put together a reel or an Instagram post or something, you know, I'll do it downstairs in the shop because the ideas are there, you know, and it's just like a comfortable space. And it's also, you know, in my life, it's the space that I have complete control over.
Yeah.
You know, up here, like Nicole and Corinne and I are not the cleanest and neatest people and the most organized people. So in our communal space, when we're all together, it can sometimes be chaotic. But in my own spaces, like I'm much more type A when it comes to my spaces. And so, you know, I like to keep them pretty nice and neat and clean because I know that that's what makes me excited to be in that space. So, you know, sometimes they get a lot of hand, but you know, if I can rein them back in and bring them back in, you know, I try to. So, but I thought that was funny. I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Like Nicole, you know, she doesn't really want to come down in the shop, you know, it doesn't give, it's like not, it's not her space, you know?
Yeah. No, and,
different people have different spaces.
Yeah. I agree. But I think having a space or wanting to have a space is a is a great thing. I want a great place. I want a great office or spot in a basement where to edit. That's like the dream, is to get something out. Even though I like my spot now, because nothing else is in here,
right?
Other than office stuff now, which is nice. But yeah, to have a spot, because you just want to go in and sit down and be in it anyway, and then you're already down, and once you start working, then you're, that's half the battle, right, is to get going. So then you get into a space that you just want to be in, you're hanging out, and then you start working,
so
you start
there, right?
you start messing around with stuff or pull up some photos, do thumbnails, Photoshop, and then you start editing, and before you know it, you've blown through a good chunk of a video or something, and you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's cool. It's a fun concept, and it's something that, you know, I've had different degrees of over the years, from like just you know, the outdoor table that I designed, that I built so that way we could make things outside when we were living together on Beaumont, you know, or like to actually having a space or having a studio when I was in college, and then, you know, having like a, you know, just different space over the years. But space is important. You know, having that dedicated space to do the thing you love, if that's what your goal is, to like be a maker and to be a doer, to be a person that wants to be creative, like having that dedicated space, I think is really important. And whether that's, you know, just a corner of a room or an entire building, you know, if you can have it, I think that's, it gives you that ability to want to be in that space. And that's, like you said, that's the hardest part, is just to get started. So like wanting to be there, you have that space that you love to go to, that it, 'cause it feels like it's specific for what you do. That's a huge thing for a maker.
There you go. Get your space, people.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So you did your early recommendation, David Hillowitz. Mm-hmm. Hillowitz music. Yeah. My recommendation this week, I have two recommendations. One is the Brunt Workwear Omen Chelsea style boot. They came out with this boot last week and I'm super excited about it. I think it's super cool looking. I didn't realize it was like the first day, but I reached out to him. I was like, "Hey, I really love this boot. Like, any chance you might want to send me one, you know, for like test it out and show people stuff about it?" Cause you know, we know that Brunt is a huge proponent and they love, you know, supporting the maker community. They were at Maker Camp and they sent both you and I boots, and they've sent tons of people boots all over the, and I think that's like why they've done so well. Like, they've really encouraged people and they've really supported the maker community, and the maker community is supporting them right back.
Yeah. Spend the money on that instead of ads, just give it to people. So everyone sees Brunt everywhere, which they do. So
they do. Right. Exactly.
It works. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. So, and they got back to me pretty quickly. They were like, "Okay, well, we definitely appreciate it. We love that you love it. We have a limited number of boots that are out right now that are for sale, you know, but they said, we'll definitely hook you up. We appreciate what you've done over the years. We'll hook you up with a pair when they come back around or whatever." So super excited. So check those out. I think they just look really good. And I like that. So the Chelsea style boot is like the slip in boot. It's the one that like Adam Savage always wears. I was like kind of always a little hesitant about it because they have this like elastic part on the side, which makes easy to slip in and out. And the whatever it's called, like, I can't think of the name brand, Rockford or something like that. I don't know what it is, but the like kind of the original one, it's more of a stylish boot, right? So it's got like a nicer dark brown leather or whatever. So it's more supposed to be kind of a like a higher end, like a stylish boot that you might wear casual, or, you know, wear it up or dress it down. Which I was always a little weird about because like the elastic just doesn't seem stylish enough. You know, like I want just a leather boot to be a leather boot.
But, you know, it's covered.
Yeah, no, I know. But even still, it's always been a little like, that's the reason why I'm always been a little bit hesitant. I don't have, like, because I like that idea of the slip-in boot. Like, I really like the ease of that, but I could never get over that. But when I saw the Bruntwear version of it, it's like a work boot that has that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it has this kind of this perfect mix between casual and work. And that's what they kind of they're like kind of advertising it as. Like, this is the easy slip-in boot to go into your shop. Like, guys that are working in the shop or working in a studio, like, this is your boot. So it's like still a work boot, but it's an easy slip-in boot. So it almost like, I feel like it has the it has permission to be a little bit, doesn't need to look as stylish. Like, it can be a little bit like a little bit more rugged, you know? And I like that about it. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, that'd be really cool too. And now that I'm thinking, like, do the laser etching on the knife, I was like, well, maybe I could like do some laser etching on the side of the leather and do some cool like patterns or something. I don't know. So I'll see, maybe see another video come out. But yeah, so that's really cool. So check out Brunt. You can find them on Instagram at Brunt Workwear. And then the Omen boot, which is really cool. And actually, I didn't realize it at first, but that's actually, you know, the last name of a guy in the community that, like, what's his name? Matt from, Man-Made Mass.
Yeah.
He's friends with the guy who was kind of inspired the boot. So that's his last name. So it's really cool that they actually, that Brunt, you know, took a design or took something that somebody had an idea in the maker community and actually turned it into one of their products, which is, again, really cool. So I like that they support us, the maker community, and that, you know, people are supporting them back. And my second recommendation is something that I actually came across on Instagram. The channel is Saul Forged, S-A-U-L, Forged. And the guy who, the main person who's the channel is Reese Foster. It's an Irish blacksmith, and he is like using traditional blacksmithing techniques. Like he's using an old forge or an old smithy thing that's been around for like 250 years, and he's doing a lot of really traditional stuff. And one of the things that he just recently did was he made bog iron. So I guess this is like from this Irish bog, somehow however they're finding ore in the bogs, but they like this old technique that Irish, you know, or whatever, like Celtic and, you know, Nordic and people have used these traditions that hasn't been around for thousands of years. He is just recently making bog iron. His plan was like to make a bog iron knife or an axe or something, and apparently it didn't work, but he made enough bog iron to make a couple Mjolnir like pendants and stuff. So
nice.
So it's like the first time that bog iron has been made in like 1,000 years or something. Mm. So, really cool. And I haven't in the recent-ish time, last year or so, haven't found like a new Instagram person that I'm really excited about. And this is kind of cool. So I really like what he's doing and kind of following along with that, some of that stuff. So, you can check him out again. That's Saul Forged, Reese Foster, making bog iron stuff. And, you know, he does other blacksmithing stuff, but that's just something they've been doing recently, which I thought was pretty sweet.
Cool. Right on.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. And sorry for all of those Ravens fans out there who are now going to have to put up with a couple weeks. I have one of my coworkers is a big Steelers fan, and she was just all super happy that the Ravens lost. She was like, tons of posts on Facebook and stuff. And it's like, ah, you jerk. But yeah,
trash.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun having a rival. But yeah, we'll get into baseball season, which will be fun. And hopefully everyone hopefully enjoys the Pro Bowl games that'll be going on this weekend. Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm kind of torn, and you know, because the Pro Bowl,
it sucked for a long time, though. It's just not, you know, it's gotten worse and worse. It just doesn't mean anything.
I never minded it. Like, I kind of liked the fact, like, obviously there are a bunch of guys that aren't going to play their hardest. They're not trying to get hurt. They're just a bunch of, like, and so, like, I never really minded. It's kind of like watching a bunch of friends play football, which was kind of cool, you know, with, like, full contact. But they're doing, like, flag football, which I thought, like, yeah, why not? You know, like, why not? If it's going to be a bunch of guys playing, like, having fun playing a kind of not too serious game of football, why not make it flag? Because then they're going to be doing spins and jumps and, like, it's kind of cool. You know, and I like the idea of the different games and stuff. Like, I think it's all right.
Yeah.
Like, I might actually, like, however much they show, like, it might actually be kind of more fun, more entertaining for, you know, a wider range of people and actually, like, kind of fun to watch. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That's this weekend. So should be cool. All right, everybody, thank you for listening again. Make sure you head over to YouTube and check us out there. Let us know what you think about the videos. Maybe if you're thinking about some of these video ideas that we've been talking about, you can let us know on Instagram through DM, or you can send us a message through our email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. You can find Dev and I both on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you want to support us further, you can find us on Patreon at The Art of Craftsmanship, or was it patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship. You can find us over there and support us there. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. Devin, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
And everybody else, we will talk to you next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.